Hello, I'm Dr. Don Newberry, the Idle American in Fort Worth. Taxation without representation is tyranny. Though it's hard to nail down who initially coined this statement, it was the hue and cry of British Americans when they fought during the American Revolution 260 years ago. My Uncle Mort, a homespun philosopher lazily whittling away the day from the cane-bottomed chair on the porch of the Thicket's General Store, came up with a rejoinder that millions of Americans currently believe but don't know how to express, or to whom, and when, and how. Quote, "I wish whoever first said that taxation without representation is tyranny could return and see what it's like with representation," according to my uncle. Conservative to the bone, Mort claims no allegiance to either Democrats or Republicans, claiming to be fiercely independent. He's not yelling as loudly or stomping his feet as often, and his teeth no longer function as fangs as in yesteryear in his battles for the common good. He's greatly saddened by the decline of our culture, values, and government. "Our leaders have strayed far away from reasoning," Mort says. That's what Isaiah 1:18 makes clear in the Bible. Quote, "Come, let us reason together." He added that many political leaders may have never heard of this scripture, or perhaps even the Holy Bible. It's difficult to argue with his contention that ugliness and discord seem yoked both in Washington, D.C. and in Austin, Texas. He says too few people are involved in shot-calling in both places. There's never been a better time to consider term limits in both D.C. and in Austin. Mort has always reserved the right to be wrong, but today's full-blown controversies are leaving many persons in cross-eyed confusion about right and wrong. For example, he's flustered about the maligned Texas system of public education and the buzz about the steamrolling proposal to provide the state funds for Texans who opt for private schools. I'm not against private schools by any stretch, nor do I oppose eventual state support, but I'm not sure the voucher system is the right choice at this time, Mort believes. He's right. Texas' support for public education has been playing catch-up for decades. The Lone Star State ranks, get this, 44th in per-student funding among the 50 states and D.C. Before stepping down from his apple box, Mort mumbled something about Texas' long-touted rainy day fund, where some $24 billion await distribution, ostensibly for crisis situations. Mort poses a worthy question of what constitutes rainy days. He feels the political weather map suggests that we're nearing flood levels that equal, if not exceed, those encountered by Noah in the Bible. But wait, he climbed back atop the fruit crate. "We hear that help is on the way for education," he said. "That's how the state lottery got a foothold. Promises abounded that public education would be awash in funds generated by the lottery." He contends that for the big winners in the lottery, there's mostly been heartache and disappointment, not to mention suicides, bankruptcies, and divorces. And at this very moment, the government-operated lottery is being investigated for serious allegations of wrongdoing. Next thing we hear, they'll be claiming that casino gambling will generate massive state financial aid, with little said about critical costs. Ask law enforcement folks concerning crime rates in current casino locales to see how that's working out, Mort moaned. Much of his research is conducted following his perusal of newspapers left behind at the general store. The other day, he carefully clipped Kevin Sherrington's column from the Dallas Morning News. Mort pinned it on the wall next to the cash register, calling it a classic, this piece that greatly illuminates what is right about public education. Readers who don't shop there may review the column posted by permission atop my website, www.speakerdoc.com. I'll also read it following completion of my column. Well, with his huffing and exceeded only by his puffing, my uncle left the general store. He headed for home on his golf cart, parking it at the swinging gate. Climbing over the gate to save the hinges, he went inside, hoping there'd be a slice of Maud's apple pie to sweeten his evening. Don Newbery in Fort Worth. Good day, and now Sherrington's commentary. Here is the Dallas Morning News, Kevin Sherrington's common sense take on state funding for its public schools. He mentions, don't mess with Texas football. School choice will ultimately diminish our gold standard. Few things draw us together like the prospect of a good high school football game, Sherrington begins. Full disclosure, of his own free will, the lovely wife and I sent all four dependents to Dallas Independent School District schools. The last stop at Hillcrest. That's how Kevin Sherrington begins. The boys played football, baseball, and golf. The girls danced at halftimes and sang in musicals. Not only did they come out unscathed, they loved it, learning enough in the bargain to qualify for colleges where they played and danced and got out in 4 years. Hey, that's saying something. Considering our urban public school testimony, you can probably guess which side we take with respect to education saving accounts, a voucher-style program. Basically, anything that subtracts from Texas' underfunded public schools is a no-go, especially if it messes with the state religion. The unsettling issue came up after an editorial in Dave Campbell's Texas Football magazine. Managing editor Greg Tepper warned that a bill already through the Texas Senate and another version about to clear the House could, quote, do real harm to Texas high school football. Judging by the reaction in Austin, you'd have guessed he proposed painting the Capitol a brighter shade of pink. Only hours after the Bible of Texas football went online with its view, Governor Craig Abbott got on X to proclaim the pending legislation will not take away from the funding of Texas high school football, period, end quote. No one's backing up to Duncanville's fieldhouse and making off with their goalposts. Not yet, anyway. That's not how these things work. And the governor knows as much. In a tweet 2 weeks before his latest take, Abbott conceded that when parents move their children from public to private schools, quote, the funding for that child leaves too, end of quote. Obviously, less money means less of something else. Pretty simple, really. Long before the prospects of education savings accounts became a near certainty, Texas public high school coaches were already worried about their own. Fiscal issues arising from schools trying to keep up with inflation have meant positions eliminated and budgets slashed. Joe Martin, executive director of the Texas High School Coaches Association, hears all kinds of horror stories from its 28,000 members. And now come the ESAs. Any way you slice it, Martin said this week, it hurts public schools because it takes money from them and gives it to private schools. Ultimately, that affects athletics, football, as well as the others we have. House Bill 2 would attempt to mitigate part of the loss for public schools currently funded with a basic allotment of $6,160 per student, which ranks in the bottom 10 nationally. House Bill 2 would bump it to $6,380, just a little more. If that sounds like not very much, it isn't. House Bill 2 also would provide money specifically for fine arts, rural schools, and pre-kindergarten, and another $1.8 billion that, among other things, would go to special education. But will the gains cover the loss in funding from students switching from public to private in years to come? The Legislative Budget Board, which analyzes the financial implications, estimates more than 24,000 public school students will cross over to private in 2027. By 2030, according to the estimate, the number could swell to nearly 100,000. Multiply 100,000 times 6,380, and you get a lot of money that has to come from somewhere. An item on the football budget is as good a place as any to start, according to this man, of course, who is a sports writer. The governor fights the perception. On his latest X post, he noted Texas is one of the only states in the Southeastern Conference's football footprint without school of choice, as proponents call ESAs. As if parents don't already have a choice, Abbott also notes the system doesn't seem to have hurt high school football in Arizona or Florida, a somewhat dubious comparison, Sherrington says. Not sure we want to hold up any other state's high school football model, and I'm certain we don't want to risk what's been built, which is pretty much the gold standard here in Texas. Unlike Florida, the best programs are in public schools. Private schools have their place, as Tepper wrote, but Texas football credibility was built painstakingly over more than a century, as stadiums twinkling on the horizon are lighting up neighborhoods. Half the appeal is the notion that it's organic. Rosters reflect communities not always obvious to us in our daily walk. Few things draw us together, rich or poor, left or right, like the prospect of a good high school football game. Consider the 10 11-man state championship games at Jerry World, which drew, get this, a total of 159,560 fans. Florida's nine title games, a meager 29,738. North Crowley-Westlake drew more than that in just one game. Before closing, I don't want to leave you thinking I've got anything against private schools. Some of our best friends send their kids to them. But they're not a panacea, just as public schools aren't as bad as you may hear. Our experience is you get out of education what you put into it. We got more than anyone else could have dreamed. A final note, our oldest son, the former quarterback, and his lovely wife, a former cheerleader, live with our grandchildren a few blocks from where they went to high school. You can't miss it. The house with the Hillcrest sign in the front yard. One more time, Don Newberry in Fort Worth. Good day.